We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome in to day 2052 of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. That's not made up. That is a real thing. We've been doing this in some capacity for 2052 consecutive days. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on X at Andy Herman NFL. You can follow the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. For those of you who are new here, maybe it's your first of 2052 days of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. Welcome. For those of you who have made the majority of those 2052 days, appreciate you a ton. Always appreciate you guys being here. We've got a fun episode lined up for you today. We're going to be talking through a safety that became available on Thursday. And could he be the answer to all of the Green Bay Packers' hopes and prayers? Somebody who could be that post safety, that single high safety, that back end safety that could be revolutionary for this Jeff Hafley defense. We are going to talk about that today. We are also going to talk about some news and notes, as we usually do, that happened on Thursday and how that affects the Green Bay Packers. But before we get there, shout out to our brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast members, Austin, Diane Jensen, Carla Delgado, and John First. Thank you for being here. Thank you for signing up. Hope you're enjoying all the great content. If you're not a member yet, early access to almost every single video. There are usually videos that are in the queue sometimes for a day or two, sometimes way further than that in advance. And you get early access to all of those members only episodes, members only Q&As. Great to check out and appreciate all of you who have signed up already. The news and notes, not a free agency news and notes to start off with today, but a Larry McCarron news and note from Thursday. Larry McCarron is going to be receiving the Bart and Cherry Star Recognition Award. The Bart and Cherry Star Recognition Award, if you ask, is a recognition award that recognizes a person who has exemplified outstanding character and leadership in their field of expertise while consistently demonstrating a personal conviction and commitment to the Green Bay Packers. I can't think of anyone else that screams than Larry McCarron. From being a player to a broadcaster to a member of the Packers.com team, he just received a game ball. I don't know if it was last training camp or the one before that, where it was 50 consecutive years that Larry McCarron was at training camp in some capacity. He's been an icon in the Green Bay area. And, you know, he is like just his presence and his professionalism, very much deserving of this award. And he will receive the Bart and Cherry Star Recognition Award at the Hall of Fame banquet this offseason. Looking forward to that. And again, Larry McCarron, very well deserving of that award. Meanwhile, there were some free agency news and notes as well. From a linebacker standpoint, we've talked about off-ball linebackers. I went through a full episode kind of identifying some players. One of the honorable mentions on my list of players that could become available that maybe Green Bay would be interested in was the Kansas City Chiefs' Drew Tranquil. He did get signed to the Kansas City Chiefs or re-signed to the Chiefs on Thursday. He will not be available. He will not hit free agency. Didn't ever think it was super likely that he would end up in Green Bay, but he is now a Kansas City Chief here, and I'm not going to say forever, but moving forward, and he will not be at least a member of the Green Bay Packers, barring some sort of crazy trade during the season in 2024. Meanwhile, I meant to talk about this player that got re-signed on Wednesday and sort of forgot about it, a player that the majority of you have probably never even heard of, Kyahmi Fairbairn, kicker for the Houston Texans. If you were hoping that the Packers were going to maybe jettison their young Anders Carlson and sign a veteran kicker and maybe go into the season with a big-time veteran, well, there were really only two of those that were available, at least that are have shown the propensity to kick at a high level. Kyahmi Fairbairn was one of those. He re-signed with the Houston Texans. That leaves Tampa Bay Buccaneers Chase McLaughlin, who has coming off one of the best seasons of his career. He had a great season in 2023 as kind of the best remaining kicker on the market. Did I expect Fairbairn or McLaughlin in Green Bay? No, but I know some people were hoping for maybe a, not just a token, you know, competition at the kicker position of, oh yeah, we'll bring in, you know, Jack Podlesny to kick against Anders Carlson. Maybe they were hoping for a legitimate big time free agent kicker. Well, like I said, there's only one left and I don't see that happening. I do kind of just expect that Anders is going to get every chance to kick again in 2024, but Goody did say he needs to be better. I do think the clock is ticking if Anders doesn't show improvement, but I don't think they're ready to go and sign a big time free agent kicker either. If they were, Chase McLaughlin, really the only one left on the market. And that brings us to safety. And on Thursday, Justin Simmons was released from the Denver Broncos. And you are just looking at a crazy amount of free agent safeties that either were already free agents or have been released. Guys like Jordan Poyer, Jamal Adams, you know, Quandre Diggs, now Justin Simmons. Like, there is a long list of players at the safety position who have been released this offseason that go hand in hand with all of the free agents at the position that we've already talked about. And you have a very, very robust market of safeties that are available, which just so happens to coincide with a team, your team, the Green Bay Packers, who needs some serious help at safety. And really, before we get into Justin Simmons, because that's going to be our main topic for today and kind of going into a deep dive, I watched a lot of film on him today. But before we even get there, the question has sort of been, why is this happening? Why are all of these teams releasing a bunch of safeties, not valuing the safety position? What's going on? And it would be one thing if we were staring a 2024 draft that was loaded with safeties and was one of the strengths of this draft class, makes some sense. You're going to start releasing some of your older players, saving some money in the process, going and probably attacking the draft very aggressively at the safety position. And then once you do that, you're, you know, hopefully developing those players at a cheaper rate and they can probably do a lot of the same things that you were hoping for because you've got a really strong safety class and you're hoping to get a couple of those guys. That's great. The issue is, it is not a great safety class by all, you know, basically draft pundit opinions. Not one of the best classes, period. End of story. Meanwhile, if you remember back in 2023, it was also a pretty putrid safety class. There's been back-to-back classes at that position that have just, quite frankly, not been very great. So the draft class is the young up-and-coming talent isn't exactly there, yet teams are willing to let go and not pay big money free agent contracts. At least we'll see, right? We'll see next week if teams are willing to give some of these guys big money free agent contracts, but they have not been willing to keep their own guys and have instead decided to release, take some dead money on and go in a different direction so they can spend money elsewhere or go with different, probably younger safeties that they're hoping they can develop. But why is that? Why would they be willing to do that in a day and age where everything is very pass happy and safeties are asked to do a decent amount? Especially if you're going to play a single high safety, right? Well, let's go over it. The first thing is this. I've talked about this a little bit before. I talked about it in our members Q&A on Thursday. When I'm going through and I'm watching tape and when I'm grading every single Packer on every single play, there will be a stretch on defense where I'm grading 20 plays and maybe a Darnell Savage or a Rudy Ford or an Anthony Johnson Jr. or whoever it is, they might go 15, 20 plays where they were involved in one, two, maybe three of those plays. You can get to a point very quickly where you're looking at like sometimes almost like one in 10, 1 in 8, 1 in 7 plays on defense where they're actually involved in the play at all. We're in a day and age right now where, of course, teams are still going to run the ball. It may not be their primary function, but teams are still going to run the ball. And if you're playing especially like a single high safety or even a 2-deep safety and your defensive line and linebackers just clean everything up, those safeties a lot of times don't even get there to be involved in the play. We see a lot of little wide receiver screens and little bubble plays and reverses and jet sweeps and tosses and end arounds. And those plays, a lot of times, safeties not involved in those plays. We see a lot of plays where you're attacking the middle of the field where the linebackers are. And you might see some middle screens, a tight end screen. You might see some crossers over the middle. And a lot of times, linebackers, corners are clearing those things up and the safeties never really get involved. Especially at, again, a single high where you're taking that guy and launching him 25 yards downfield to start at the beginning of the snap. A lot of times, those guys are just not involved in the play the vast majority of the time. So when you're looking at a resource allocation for what you want to spend money on, you only have so many draft picks, you only have so much money to spend in free agency and on your team, you have to allocate it the right way. So I look at it this way. Imagine you have a game where, let's just say you've got 70 snaps of offense, 70 snaps of defense, we'll just say 10. It's probably, we'll say 65. 65 snaps of offense, 65 snaps of defense, and then 20 snaps of special teams, right? 150 snaps just to make it nice and even. That's a very common NFL game, right around that 65 snap mark, very common on both sides of the ball. 65 on offense, 65 on defense, 20 on special teams. Let's assume you go out and spend money on a Xavier McKinney or a Justin Simmons who are not going to play on defense or not going to play on special teams because they are a very core member of your defense. Well, we know they're not playing those 65 snaps of offense. We know they're not playing 20 snaps of defense. That takes 85 snaps of the game and just eliminates those altogether. That's not uncommon, though. That's normal. You're only usually going to play one side of the ball unless you do a little bit of special teams dabbling as well. But those are 85 snaps that are gone. You're left with your 65 left on defense. Let's say you play, you know, or let's say 1 out of every 8 snaps are legitimately involved in the play. Like the safety is legitimately involved and they are making a play on the ball, whatever it may be. Let's say 1 out of every 8. What is that? You're 65 snaps, 1 out of every 8. That's 8 plays a game that they're heavily involved in. Now, to be clear, when those 8 plays do happen, a lot of times they might be the last level of defense. They might have the ability to play center field and pick off a ball. They might be in the midst and in the crossfires of a very big play either that they can make or that they could give up. So those 8 plays could be huge dependent upon what happens and how they do or do not make that play. But if you're looking at this, if it is, you know, like I said, and you get through this and you look at some of these games and it's like 1 out of every 8 plays that safety is actually involved, you might end up with 8 to 10 plays a game. I just thought of this. I didn't even think of this earlier. I want to bring up my, see if I can do this. Grades from last year. Let's just take a look at the divisional round against the 49ers. See if I can pull this up really quick here. All right. So Darnell Savage last year, I had grades on him last year. And the same thing with Jonathan Owens. In that divisional round game, each of them had 16 plays that they had gradable plays on. In the wild card round, let's see what happened here. Jonathan Owens had 18 plays. Savage had a little bit more than, Savage had, 15 plays. So you're talking about 15 to 16 plays right around there on defense. I'll do one more just to see. And like I said, I didn't even prep this. I just thought of this kind of off the top of my head here. Oh, look at this. Week 18 on defense. Darnell Savage had 9 plays that he had an actual grade on, which means that he was involved in the play enough to get a grade, right? There could be theoretically more than that where he just had a neutral grade on the play. So like, you know, he was maybe involved in it, just it was a neutral level play. But for the most part, this usually means that there was some like gradable action on it. Jonathan Owens had like 10 plays. But let's just say on the high end, let's say it's 16 to 20 snaps, right? You're paying someone a potentially exorbitant amount of money. And maybe like if you're going to sign a Xavier McKinney, right? Maybe a $13, $15 million per year. And you might get to the end of the game and you might have one of those plays or one of those games where he literally factored in on 10 to 18 snaps in the entire game. In a 150-snap game, he might have factored in on 18 of them. And again, that's not to say they're not important. That's not to say that they can't make an impact. And we know the impact that really good safeties can make. But if you're talking about a player like an offensive lineman, take a look at an offensive lineman. They're going to play 65 out of 65 snaps on offense, and they're going to be important to that play every single time, almost every single time. It could be a run right in the left tackle, may not matter all that much, but they could. You never know. But they're going to factor in a ton. Whereas a safety, you just might not end up having that. And even in those, you know, 15 to 18 plays, like I said, you might end up actually with like 5 to 6 where they're actually like big, important type plays. That's why it's sort of looked upon as, hey, do we really want to put in all of this money and all of these resources for a player that is only going to have a literal minuscule impact on the game overall compared to what other position players might have? And then you also have to take a look at it as like, it's one thing if you're playing like a single high and a box safety and those guys are involved, they're, like I said, the last line of defense, and they're constantly in potentially pressure situations, especially more of a box safety. But if you're playing a lot of two high safety, your job description changes quite a bit. And there's nuance to this. Clearly that should go without saying, but if you're just playing a lot of two high safety, which has been more in vogue through the last handful of seasons, a lot of times you're in zone and you're just covering your half of the field or your quarter of the field or your third of the field, and you're not doing a ton of other stuff. And it's again, one thing if you need a single high safety that's going to be ranging left to right, or a box safety that has to come in and make aggressive tackles, you have to have specific skill sets a lot of times for those. But if you're going to play a ton of two high safety, you can get by with a Tashawn Gibson in San Francisco as a starting safety at age 34 on a pretty small deal overall and be totally fine. It's not a big deal because those guys have the skill set to play that position. It's not a huge, there's not a huge like set of skills that you need to have in order to play a half the field safety, at least compared to a lot of the other positions in the league. And that's where you end up with these diminished safety contracts. And clearly, if you have a guy like a Tyrann Mathieu, that is going to be super important. Like, or I should say Tyrann Mathieu in his prime, I meant Antoine Winfield, excuse me. But like an Antoine Winfield who's playing amazing football and is making big time play after big time play, somebody like a Leroy Butler in their prime, Charles Woodson when he was at safety. Like, yeah, if you've got somebody like that, that's a difference maker. It's the same thing at running back, right? Most running backs are a dime a dozen, but if you have a Christian McCaffrey, that changes things. That changes the calculus quite a bit. So the top end guys are still going to get paid, but then you've got that next group, and then it becomes like, hey, if we don't have one of the top guys, like there just kind of ends up a stew of a bunch of other players that kind of all mix in. And sometimes the difference between a Tashawn Gibson and a Cameron Curl and a third round rookie just doesn't end up being all that much because you might only see the difference on 2 to 3 snaps in the entirety of a game. That's why to me, the safety value is a bit different and it has gone down and why we're seeing all these releases. But with all those releases come potential players for the Green Bay Packers who, no matter what you view of safety or how little money you want to put into them, the Green Bay Packers are in very big need of some new safeties on the back end of that defense. And Justin Simmons immediately becomes one of those names that we need to look at and break down and see, can he be that guy? Can he be that post safety? Can he be the back end of the Jeff Hafley defense that sort of sets everything up for everyone in front of him? That is going to be a very important role, regardless of how many snaps that they're involved with. And you could imagine that a player like Justin Simmons would fit that very well. So let's take a look at that today.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Before we get into the full scouting report, a couple things that I want to say about this. One, remember that he is released. Any of these players that are released, your Jordan Poyers, your Quandre Diggs, your Jamal Adams, your all of those guys, Byard from the Eagles, if they are released, they can sign immediately. Green Bay doesn't have to wait until the legal tampering period. They don't have to wait till free agency. When you're released, you become a street free agent immediately, not an unrestricted free agent that has to follow the league rules. You can sign right away. So if Green Bay wanted to sign Justin Simmons right now, they could do so. So just remember that. They don't have to wait until the start of free agency. Number two, when you're released, you do not count against the comp pick formula. So for a compensatory pick, does not count against that. When you sign a player who was released, it does if you sign an unrestricted free agent. I wouldn't worry about that. Green Bay is going to lose Darnell Savage probably, maybe a John Runyon Jr. You're probably looking at potentially a couple sixth or seventh round picks as comp picks if everything would go that way. I don't think they're going to get any third, fourth, or even fifth round picks in that compensatory formula. In my opinion, I would not worry about it. I would not stress about it. And I'd rather get the players that I like in free agency rather than limit myself to only players who were released so it doesn't affect that. You're going to have plenty of young players on your roster with all the draft picks you had last year and this year. You'll have more next year. You'll be fine. You don't need a couple compensatory sixth round picks that are basically acting like seventh round picks. Don't let it focus on that. It's a nice, little bonus if they would only sign release players, but I wouldn't let that factor anyone's judgment at this point, not this offseason. If you're letting a bunch of guys go that could get third round comp picks, that changes things. But this year, probably not going to be a factor. And then the other thing, you guys know this very, very well. And I'll be the first one to say, I've probably influenced, I don't want to give myself a big head here or anything. I'm not that influential, but I've probably influenced some of this conversation in Packers, whatever the Packers sphere of younger and cheaper is a lot of times better and the good way to go. And once you start getting into these older age and older contracts, that's why we're seeing all these players released. And you got to be careful with bringing in, a bunch of older players and have mercenaries and things like that. You guys know me well enough to know younger, cheaper, probably better more often than not if you can find the talent. But so far, I've been seeing Justin Simmons becomes available. He's 30. And immediately I see this outpouring of he's too old. He's too old. He can't play. He's too old. He is 30. And a couple things here. That at 30 does not mean that you can't still play at a high level, especially at safety in the NFL. We just talked about Tashaun Gibson. He's playing very well still at age 33, 34, wherever he's at. There are multiple safeties that have played. Harrison Smith has played at a very high level at an older age still. There's going to be some decline once you hit your 30s. There's no question about it, but you can still play football in your 30s. It's not taboo. It's not oh my God, he's 30. You better just get rid of that guy. You know me to know well enough. I like, to generally go towards those younger players, especially as you're building up a team. But just because a guy's 30 doesn't mean he can't play. Doesn't mean that you shouldn't sign him. Doesn't mean that he's destined to be a failure. You can still sign good football players, regardless of age. That's okay. We don't have to look at everything and be oh my goodness, he's 30. Let's just completely kick him to the side and you might as well just kick him out of the league at this point. There are good players over the age of 30. And it's not even he's going to be the oldest player on the team if Green Bay were to sign him. So I just wanted to give that a little aside because I saw some of that of oh, he's way too old. He's 30. It's going to be okay. Spoken as a true old person myself, 30, not that old. Even in the NFL terms, It'd be great if he was 24, 25, 26, anything under 30, but you're still okay if you want to go in that direction. It's not the end of the world, I promise. Here was my thought process going into today. Let's break down Justin Simmons, because I think he's going to be a perfect post safety for this Jeff Hafley defense. And here was my thought process before I started jumping into the film. He is a four-time second team All-Pro, one of my favorite draft studies of all time, and a player that I've watched a ton earlier in his career. I've talked about in the past, one of my favorite things of evaluating players in the draft, you get players that you really like, and then you keep an eye on them. Stephon Diggs, even though he's a Minnesota Viking, and I was so happy when he got traded to the Bills, he was a player I loved in the draft. And I was so excited to see how he would end up in the NFL. And he, of course, ended up great. It sucked that he was a Viking, but ended up having this great career, and it's been really fun watching him throughout the way, certainly more so as a Buffalo Bill than a Minnesota Viking. Justin Simmons was one of those players for me, and I've really always enjoyed watching him, especially early in his career, range around. So I've watched a good amount of Justin Simmons in my life, and I've known what he's capable of and was excited about the possibility of him potentially becoming a Green Bay Packer. He is a playmaker on the back end of defenses, something that Green Bay has sorely lacked. He has 30 career interceptions, so he has that playmaking ability if you throw in his direction. He is a perfect body type, speed type, athletic type for that single high safety position, and he's played a ton of it in his career. He is 30, but he's not overage for a safety, kind of as we just talked about. He has tremendous leadership ability and is a great communicator. He is a multi-time defensive captain, and he's going to be somebody that can pick up this Jeff Hafley defense, help everyone around him, and be a key communicator on the back end of the defense for it. He is a three-time nominee for the Walter Payton Man of the Year, that which goes to show you great person, great human being, and great locker room presence as well. He's going to be somebody that's going to come in, and like, his character has been through the roof by everyone that covers the Broncos. Ben Albright tweeted about it and of how high of a character he has. And again, if you're a three-time Walter Payton Man of the Year nominee, that goes to show that as well. Also, another reason I was potentially excited about this. Think about the Denver Broncos and Justin Simmons' career. He's had a winning record one time in his career, and it was his rookie season when the Broncos were 9-7, and he has never, ever made the playoffs. So imagine you go from that, and meanwhile, during that time, six coaches in eight seasons in his career. He's had six different head coaches in eight seasons. One of them was an interim coach, but still it counts. Six head coaches in eight seasons. No playoff run, no playoff game, one winning record in his rookie year, and it was 9-7. Now, imagine you take that player who's never really experienced winning, never gone to a playoff game, and you transplant him to a young, up-and-coming, hungry, excited Packer team that's expected to make the playoffs and compete at a potentially high level this season. And imagine what that does for rejuvenating a player who just hasn't had any of that success in the NFL. You would have to think that that's going to give that type of player a bit of a jolt and excitement moving to that sort of atmosphere from a team with like the Broncos, who have been toiling in really poor performances and bad decisions, to a team in Green Bay that is trending very much in the right direction. He was a very high-end athlete coming out of college, which means he's a good type of player, and he's the exact type of person, has the exact type of pedigree, the right locker room guy, that has probably a huge amount of hunger to go to the playoffs and make a run and try to get a Super Bowl. That's the exact sort of guy that you want to bring to the team. To kind of sum it up in a nice way, he is a locker room fit, he is a scheme fit, and he is a goot fit based on what traits he usually likes for his players. That being said, that's what I went into as I started to break down the tape and be like, woohoo, love Justin Simmons. He's been a great player, four-time second team All-Pro, Pro Bowler, watched his games in the past. He's really, really good. Let's just throw on the tape in 2023 just to dot our I's and cross our T's and make sure and see that he's still playing at that high level. And friends, sometimes the narrative just does not spin the way that you were hoping that it was going to spin. Easy said, the tape was underwhelming. And I'm not willing to take him off the list, but I thought as I was going through this tape with all the things that we just discussed, this was going to be the number two, maybe number three, maybe number one safety on my list of potential free agent signings for Green Bay. And the truth of the matter is that after watching the tape, I just didn't necessarily see it that way. But let's get into the scouting report. I'll do my normal little breakdown, and then I'll go through what I saw on tape from Justin Simmons that gave me a little bit of cause for concern, and then it also gave me some flash plays that are still some positive takeaways to discuss as well. He is a 6'2", 202-pound safety for the Denver Broncos, or at least he was. He will be 31 in November, a third-round pick in 2016 with a relative athletic score of 9.24 coming out of college. His projected contract per Sporttrack is 2 years, $22 million, $11 million per year. His PFF grade this past year was 67.9, before that was 70.7, and the year before that was 74.8. But I will point out this. 5 years ago, his PFF grade was 90.7, then 77.4, then 74.8, then 70.7, then 67.9. It has gone down every year for the past 4 years. It's a little bit concerning as you start looking at a trend line for Justin Simmons. PFF, not everything, of course, but their grades for him have trended down every year for the past 4 years, going from 90.7, 4 years ago to 67.9 this past year. In 2023, he had 70 tackles, 1 sack, 3 picks, 8 passes defended, no forced fumbles, and 1 fumble recovery. As I mentioned, he is a 2-time Pro Bowler, a 4-time second team All-Pro, including being a second team All-Pro in the last 3 seasons, all of them consecutively. In coverage, this past year, quarterbacks went 23 of 36 when targeting him, 63.9% completion percentage, 324 yards, 3 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, and 85.9 passer rating. He had 9 missed tackles for a missed tackle rate of 11.8%. He played 230 snaps in the box, 594 at free safety, and 144 snaps in the slot. So that's sort of the general breakdown that we've done for all of these safeties so far. But I did a deeper dive on Justin Simmons for this particular episode because, like I said, going in and expecting, I'm like, oh yeah, he's going to be a shoe-in for one of the top 3 safeties that Green Bay should go after. Well, let's go over the pros first. The big thing here is that if you're going to be the last line of defense, if you're going to be a single high safety, you better put the word safe in safety. You better be the one that makes that last tackle. You better make sure that you do not get beat, because if you do, it's a touchdown for the other team. There was a play against Breece Hall where Breece Hall has Justin Simmons one-on-one in a far more precarious position than Christian McCaffrey had Darnell Savage when he broke that touchdown against Darnell Savage this past year. He's got space, and Breece Hall is a dynamic runner, and Justin Simmons shut him down with relative ease, got him to the ground, and it was a 15-yard gain instead of what would have been like a 50-yard touchdown. That's a big play for Justin Simmons. He had multiple plays like that on tape where he was the last line of defense and he made the play. He has plenty of single high experience, played a decent amount of it this past year, and has played a ton of it overall in his career. And of course, as we talked about earlier, his overall experience is going to be a huge plus for a new defense, working with Jeff Hafley and trying to get everyone on the same page. His leadership, his intangibles, all of those things are going to be plus, plus, plus. And of course, his communication ability, which has been noted to be one of the best on the Denver Broncos. He's super flexible. Not only can he play that single high, but he can play that box safety. He can play a little in the slot, specifically on tight ends. What that allows for is late adjustments. I watched every single high safety for the Broncos this past year. What you saw a lot, not a lot of, but a decent amount of, was 2 safeties that were lined up at the same level. And then sometimes it would be Justin Simmons that would then scream up to be the box safety, and the other safety that would go be the single high safety. And other times it was vice versa, and it would be Simmons that would go and be the free safety or the post safety, and the other safety that would come up and be the box safety. There were other times where Justin Simmons looked like he was going to be lined up as the single high safety and was lined up deeper, and then the other safety was lined up shallow as the box safety. And then right as the snap was made, or maybe just like a millisecond before the snap, they would switch and they would go in opposite directions. Just try to be, again, late confusion to try to confuse the quarterback, and vice versa. Same thing. You know, Simmons would be at the other one and then switch late, but they had a lot of versatility because Simmons was capable of playing both box safety and that post safety position. His size and length are both perfect for that back end spot. Again, 30 career interceptions, and if you do throw his way, he is going to pick it off. He reads the field very well. You're not going to get too much past him. Earlier in his career, he would be easily fooled by a quarterback looking one way and then throwing back the other. He's pretty calm and is not going to bite super easy on some of those plays. it does get him into trouble sometimes where they look right and they're legitimately throwing right and he doesn't jump it the way that he maybe could, but I prefer him being safe in those situations and it's not like a downgrade either. Thought he had a great game in coverage against Detroit, made a great play against Jameson Williams in coverage, made a really nice play against Laporta in coverage, and you saw some of those flashes in coverage ability. He only missed two games this past year. He missed five games the year before that, but from 2018 to 2021, four seasons, he didn't miss a single game during that stretch. So seven games missed since 2018. Overall, he's been extremely durable, and he's played in at least 12 games in every single season. The downsides here, there are lots of plays where he did not end up involved at all in the play. We talked about the value of a safety. There were a lot of plays with Justin Simmons where he just ended up not being involved in the play. That's not his fault. That's not anything he did wrong, but it's just noteworthy. His true center field sideline to sideline range, those days are behind him. He can get to spots, but it's not like he can start going one way and then race over to the other or start in the center and there's a play that comes here and he immediately gets there. I'll just say it. I have this set for later in like my final thoughts. It gave me a huge appreciation for Xavier McKinney because Xavier McKinney was racing sideline to sideline to get, not sideline to sideline, but like from center field to sideline to make some of those big plays. And Simmons just was not able to get there, not in the same way at least that Xavier McKinney was, and just was a step slow to some of those plays. Struggled with TJ Hockenson and the Minnesota Vikings on a couple plays. Got beat pretty easily on a double move. In the last game of the season, couple plays left, he got completely broken down in the open field and he was going to the sideline and the guy just juked him out and Simmons didn't even get a touch on him. His play speed has taken a hit from earlier in his career. He played flat-footed far too much and faster players in open field gave him a ton of trouble. He's no longer and really never was the most physically imposing safety in the world. He's not just going to lay you out. He's not going to bring a big hit up in the box. He's going to get you to the ground. He's a sure tackler, but he's not physically imposing. He's not going to be that big physical, big hitting safety. That's just never who he was and not who he's going to be. I wanted to see a little bit more of him rallying to the football and just didn't see it this past year. Maybe that was just because of all the issues in Denver and whatever, but I didn't see that. I didn't see that fire, that rallying to the football. We heard Matt LaFleur say, and I think Halfley say, playing with hair on fire. I didn't see that from Justin Simmons this past year. And again, as I mentioned, just a totally different center field ability from what I saw from Xavier McKinney when I watched his film. McKinney was able to get there. Simmons oftentimes was not. My overall review of Simmons, it looks like he needs something new. It just looks like he didn't have the energy, the passion, the excitement. And I would hope that if he went to Green Bay, maybe he gets that back and plays a little bit more with the exuberance of actually being able to play for a team that has the opportunity to win again, not like the Denver Broncos these past handful of seasons. All the reasons I thought it would be a good idea at the beginning are still legit. There's still a lot of good reasons to bring him in and think that he could contribute to this team. You just have to take into consideration some of those things that didn't go quite as well on tape either. You can tell that he's clearly taking a step back. He's not the same guy that he was 3-4 years ago. It just is what it is. But like I said, I do think there's a legit chance that he kind of just needs a change of scenery and to give him something new, something that he hasn't had in a long time. And that's the ability to actually go out and win at a very high level. I think Justin Simmons ultimately just kind of ends up in a little bit of no man's land. And what I mean by that is, let's just say that Xavier McKinney gets $14 million. Let's say Justin Simmons gets $11 million. And let's say that somebody like a Julian Blackman gets $8 million per year. The way I'd kind of look at it is if my choice was between Justin Simmons and Xavier McKinney and McKinney was 14 and Simmons was 11, I think McKinney's easily worth the $3 million more per year. And I would go with Xavier McKinney. If I would look at Julian Blackman and Justin Simmons and it was the other way around and you said Justin Simmons is worth 11 mil per year and Julian Blackman is worth 8 million per year, I would say, I think I would rather have Blackman at 8 million than I would have Simmons at $11 million. And that's where I say, I think he's kind of just in this no man's land where I think the next tier of safeties, I'd rather have Fuller for cheaper than Simmons for more expensive. I'd rather have Cameron Curl for cheaper than Simmons is more expensive. I'd rather have Julian Blackman cheaper than Simmons more expensive. And if I am going to go expensive, I'd rather just go and get Xavier McKinney. So I'm not taking him off the list. I think Green Bay could very well be interested in him. I would not be upset if you told me the Packers signed Justin Simmons. I'd genuinely be excited still, even though I do have some concerns. I would be excited to see what he could be in Green Bay in this defense. But if he is going to pay off for Green Bay, he needs to play better than he did in 2023. That's my big takeaway. I don't think it's that he can't do it. I don't think it's that he couldn't potentially be a really good signing. It's just if it needs to pay off and you are going to give him a really nice deal in free agency, then he needs to be better than what he was for the Broncos in 2023. I do think that coming to Green Bay could give him the legit boost that he needs. The tape wasn't what I was hoping for, and I do think he's a little bit of no man's land, but he's still a good player. I'd still be excited if the Packers picked him up. Wouldn't be upset, wouldn't be mad. But if I'm being honest, going into today, huge episode lined up. We're going to talk about how Justin Simmons is this perfect fit for Jeff Hafley's post safety, and we found our guy, and this is going to be a potential big opportunity for Green Bay. Still an option, no question about it. Just a little bit not what I was expecting when I went and watched the tape. Was a little bit underwhelmed and think there are probably better options, either going with a little bit better or in more expensive of an option, or going with a little bit cheaper and a little bit, still good, but maybe not quite the experience that a Justin Simmons has. Hope that makes sense. This was fun to go over. Still think he's a good player. Still be intrigued, but think there's probably better options. Shout out to our Hall of Fame and All-Pro members, Mo State of Minnesota, and PJ Wynn, John Wild, Jay Bradad, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Bremen, and David Prendergast. You guys are the best. I will see you right back here tomorrow with an all-new episode. But until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.